As all of you know, life can be a struggle sometimes. Making ends meet isn't always as easy as just getting a job. Several years back, I couldn't find a job. It was rejection after rejection. And at the time, nobody was really hiring, and the few places that were hiring were very ultra-competitive. I was barely making over minimum wage as a deli employee at a grocery store. I remember one night I was working online for ways to make extra money, and I ended up stumbling upon Craigslist. I had heard of Craigslist, but never really explored it for myself. I found an ad on Craigslist for a freelance job where I would be what's called a secret shopper. For those of you who may not be familiar with what a secret shopper is, it's basically an anonymous customer who comes into a store and asks the employees a series of questions. The employee is then graded on certain criteria. For example, does the employee make eye contact, greet you, give a suggestion, offer to escort the customer, and give a parting comment, etc. It seems simple, but a lot of companies, specifically the store I work for, will reprimand the employee for a bad secret shopper score, and even fire the employee if they get more than one bad score. Since I had experience in the store and I know exactly what they're looking for, I thought that this would be an easy way to make some money on the side. The first store I visited was a local chain of grocery stores in my hometown. Oddly enough, it was the same company I worked for, but not the same store though. I started making my rounds and noticed a man, probably in his 20s, stocking the shelves. He looked at me and immediately put his head back down. He didn't greet me, so he got points off right away. I had to greet him and ask him where the canned tuna was. He never lifted his head from stocking the shelves and just sort of angrily said, "Aisle 2," halfway down. Again, this guy lost points for not making eye contact and offering to show me where it was located. Also, just for the record, I know how ridiculous all of this is, but these stupid companies take this junk so seriously. They don't care if you're waiting on another customer or what the excuse is. If you get a bad score, you're kind of screwed. I was trying to pause and give the guy a chance to redeem himself by telling me to have a good day, but he never did. And I eventually had to initiate the parting remark, and that's when he finally looked up and said, "Yeah, you too." And I finally saw his name tag and wrote down on it was a name, Patrick. And I smiled and walked away, and I noticed that Patrick kept his eye on me. I felt a stare as I walked away, and I started to figure that he was on to me, that I was maybe a secret shopper. I was going to ask a few more employees questions, but I started to feel uncomfortable. Every time I looked up, I could see this Patrick at the end of the aisles. It almost seemed like he was following me. I wasn't sure what the end game was for this guy, but I didn't want to find out. I cashed out and the cashier passed her secret shop with flying colors though, and after I cashed out I briskly made my way to my car and I just wanted to get out of the store so bad and be done with this. Once I was in the car, I started writing down the full report before I drove off. I just wanted to get all the information down while it was still fresh. But while I was writing, I looked up and saw my buddy from the aisle, intensely walking through the parking lot, Patrick. I ducked down a little bit, but thankfully it didn't appear like he had noticed me. He just kept walking until he got to his car, which was a dark four-door sedan of some kind, and he sped off and I waited a few minutes before I departed. I don't know why, but this guy just gave me the creeps though. I kept thinking to myself, why was he following me around the store like that? If he really was, but it truly did feel like he was, and it just felt so weird. I'm a textbook overthinker, so I tried telling myself that maybe I was overthinking, but something about him was just definitely off. That night, I went home and I emailed my supervisor the report, and life went on. It only took a day or two for me to completely forget about that interaction. A few nights after I turned in the report, I was having a late-night dinner with my boyfriend. We were just hanging out enjoying each other's company. The relaxing evening was interrupted by a loud and consistent banging on the front door. It wasn't just an aggressive knock either. It was like the sound of someone throwing their entire body weight at the door. You have no idea how horrifying it is to hear a knock at the door at that hour, let alone a banging knock like this one. We looked out the window, and I was at a loss for words. It was that Patrick guy from the grocery store. and he looked horrible. His eyes looked like they were sunken in, and he looked like he hadn't slept in days. I called out, telling him to leave right now, that I was calling the police, and he didn't even flinch. He just kept banging and demanding that I let him enter the home. Repeatedly, he kept saying that I ruined his life and that I needed to pay. That there would be an eye for an eye, I remember him saying. I didn't even want to think about what he meant by that. While this interaction was happening, my boyfriend had called the police, though. They must have been in the area because the first squad car showed up in less than 2 minutes. And it's a good thing, too, because I don't know how much longer my door was going to hold up. Patrick was really throwing himself into the door, and this whole sight was nuts. A cop tackled Patrick right on my front steps and handcuffed him, and while they were apprehending him, they ended up finding a knife concealed in his waistband, which for me was the most terrifying information about this entire ordeal. I still can't stop thinking about what he intended to do with that knife if he had broken down the door. After he was arrested, I did get some closure on this whole nightmare. It turns out it was just a situation of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Apparently, Patrick was at the end of the cliff, and my visit to the store that day was what forced him to fall completely off. He was struggling to pay his bills, and from what I was told, his girlfriend had just broken up with him the day of that secret shopping event. And when I approached him in the store that day, he was only minutes away from the end of his shift and was just mentally completely done at that point. I get it. We've all been there. Well, to a degree. And I happened to catch him on a bad day, and asking for a can of tuna was the last thing on his mind. He ended up losing his job because he had failed another secret shopper report, a report that I sent in. The part that I can't still figure out about this is I have no idea how he found out where I lived. I don't think he followed me that day after the store, but there's no other way that he would know where I lived. I stayed at my boyfriend's house after that night, and I rarely stayed at my old house alone. I don't know what happened to this guy, but I genuinely hope that he figured it out, and more importantly, I hope these stores get rid of the secret shopper program because it's just horrible. Not long ago, I decided to listen to a friend of mine about picking up some babysitting jobs from Craigslist. I know that seems weird, but I was surprised at how many postings for that type of work were on there. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have needed the job, but at the time, I had just broken up with my boyfriend, and I didn't think that I was going to be able to pay my rent. This seemed like the easiest way to make some money. It helps that I used to babysit when I was a teenager, and my brother has 2 small kids, so I felt like an expert in the field. After all, how hard could looking after some children for a few hours be? I set up a job for early Saturday evening, and I started messaging a woman named Chloe. The woman said that her and her husband would be leaving the house at around 5:15 p.m., and they would be back sometime after 10. She gave me the address and all the information about the children. I would be watching 2 boys, and one of the boys was 7 and the other was 9. I was figuring that this was going to be easy money. In my opinion, boys that age are easy to entertain, and because they weren't babies, they wouldn't need my undivided attention. After I talked to the lady, I told my friend about the job, who was jealous of the money that I was about to make. She had been doing the Craigslist babysitting jobs for a few months now and had never come close to the money I was about to make, or at least told that I was about to make. On Saturday evening, I made my way to the address given to me by Chloe. And right away, I had some regrets. The house was in a very sketchy neighborhood. Not necessarily crime-ridden, but it was a poor and run-down area. When I knocked on the door, there was no answer. I waited for several minutes and attempted several more knocks on the door when, finally, a strange and very rough-looking man answered the door. He was tall and skinny with this massive gray beard. I would say that he was at least in his 50s, unless he just looked rough for his age. And in this very low and gruff voice, he said, "Come on in, sweetheart. Sorry I didn't hear the knocks. My ears ain't what they used to be." I walked inside, and the first thing I noticed was how not child-friendly the house was. A lot of trash and just general clutter was lying about. and I was just standing in the front of the door, and the man then says, "My wife should be back any minute with the kids. Go and sit down and make yourself at home. Sorry, I know the place ain't the cleanest." I was trying not to be judgmental. I know it sounds like I should be running for the hills, but I didn't want to unfairly judge this guy or his family. And the man pointed down the hall and told me that the living room was in the back of the house. I made my way back there and sat on this bluish couch. The amount of anxiety I felt at this moment was absolutely crushing, though. I saw no pictures of children, no toys, and no indication whatsoever that children even lived there. While I was waiting on the couch, I could hear the man walking back and forth in the other room, and I think he was mumbling to himself. Every few minutes, he would begin to shout,
"Hey, sorry about this, ma'am. My wife can be forgetful with the time. I promise she'll be back soon."
A few minutes later, he ran into the room scratching his head. With this big smile, he said,
"You know what? I'm an idiot. I bet my wife came inside with the kids through the basement entrance. She's probably waiting for you down there. Nobody uses the front door that you came in. The basement's right over there. Here, why don't you go check it out, and I'll meet you all down there in a minute."
He stood there like some scarecrow, pointing to a door on the far side of the room. I didn't know what to do and just nodded and told him I would go check, and truthfully, I had enough at this point, though. He smiled and in this very unsettling voice says,
"Well, that's great. I'll see you in a second, sweetie."
And then he walked back into the front door. I opened the door to the basement out of curiosity, and it was obvious that nobody was down there. The lights were off, and the smell was just horrific when it hit my nose. There was no chance I was going to go down there. And while staring into the dark basement, I heard that he was still bumping around in the front room, and without thinking, I ran as fast as I could toward the front door that I came from. Once I hit it, the door was locked. I quickly unlocked it and ran for my car. As I opened the car door, I could hear him yelling from inside the house, but I didn't look back. I started backing down the driveway, and I could see him running out of the house, waving his hands back and forth. And thankfully, by the time he reached the driveway, I was already flying down the road. I almost didn't call the police because technically I was physically fine and maybe even overreacting. But after calling my friend, she convinced me to call the authorities just in case. After the phone call, I had no idea what had happened. The dispatcher on the phone told me that they would take it from here and that was the end of it, at least on my end. Maybe there was a wife and kids. Maybe this was just a poor family that I just very unfairly judged. Maybe there really was an entrance to the basement that his wife used instead of that front door. But honestly, I'd rather look like some crazy jerk who judged the family than potentially be the victim of something very much worse. The unnerving nature of the situation told me to run, and I stand by that gut feeling. That very well could have been the best decision of my life.
Last year, I was trying to sell my 2007 Mercury Mariner. It was in pretty good shape, but had a lot of miles, and it's kind of old. But overall, it ran very good and is a good car. I decided to list it on Craigslist because I've had experience buying cars on there before. When I had used Craigslist in the past, it had gone pretty well. So I took several pictures of the car and then listed it. The next day, I didn't get any interest at all. But on the second day, I got a response to the ad. The text message came from a man saying that his name was Al and that he wanted to buy the car. He seemed pretty confident about it right away. I was asking a pretty reasonable price, so I gave him my address to come and look at it. Now, I lived in an apartment building. I didn't think it was a big deal to give out the address, because there were several buildings in the complex. My car was already parked out in the parking lot, and the guy would have no way of knowing which apartment was mine. So I asked Al when he was free, and he said he could come by the next day after work at 9 p.m. I said okay, and then I cleaned out the car and got it ready for selling. The following night, I left my apartment building and went to my car in the parking lot. Al showed up shortly after and parked nearby. He got out and I met him by my Mariner. I was a big guy, had lots of tattoos, was probably about 250 pounds and 6 feet tall. After meeting, I showed Al the car and he looked around at it. After several minutes, he asked to take it for a test drive. I went with him and Al drove the car around the block and down some nearby streets. I remember that he said he liked it and it seemed fine. At that point, I was really thinking that I was going to sell the car that night. After the test drive, we returned to my apartment complex, and he parked the car in the space that it had been before. But then, after we got out of the car, Al just said that he would think about it. I was disappointed, because it seemed like he was going to buy it before. But I just said okay, and then said bye to him. But that's when Al asked me if he could use my bathroom quick. This seemed sketchy. Why did he think it would be okay with me for him to use my bathroom? I said no thanks and started walking away. To me, I was afraid that it might be some sort of a setup. I didn't want this guy coming into my apartment. He was still kind of standing around by my car though. My apartment building had a side door and a front door. The side door was not very far away, so I decided to walk to the front. I left Al standing there and headed inside. I was kind of afraid that he was going to follow me. But when I left and got to the front doors, I looked back and didn't see him at all. This made me feel better and I entered the building. When I got inside, I turned to the right and then entered the elevator. I took it up to the third floor, which is the level that my apartment was on. When I arrived, I stepped off and started walking to the left. But when I did, I saw the door at the end of the hallway open that led to a stairwell. I saw Al entering the hallway. What was he doing here? At first, I started going towards my door, but then saw Al going towards me. I quickly stopped and then turned and started walking in the opposite direction. At that point, I started to hear Al begin to run in my direction, so I started sprinting to the end of the hallway. When I made it there, I went into the stairs on the other side and ran down. As I was going down the stairs, I heard Al enter the stairwell and continue to chase me. Then I went into the underground parking garage beneath the building. When I got down there, I ran across it to the other end of the building. I had extended my lead on Al a little bit. I heard him get to the parking garage and keep chasing me though. Then I got to the stairs on the other side and ran up them to the ground level, then left through the side door. After I was out of the building, I ran to my car and got inside. Then I just left and drove away. I called the police while driving off and told them about the man. I drove around the streets nearby for a few minutes and then returned. When I did, Al's car was still there and he was not inside of it. The police got there just a couple of minutes later. I didn't go back inside the building until they did. And when they did, they actually found Al attempting to break into another apartment. So it turns out he was never interested in buying my car. I guess he was just going to try to rob me or something. One time, I was going to buy a TV on Craigslist. This was years ago, but I would browse Craigslist at work all the time back then. Several times, I got really good deals or things for free. You never really knew what you would find there. But you also had to be very careful. So I found this really good deal on a nice TV. I was in the market for one, and the ad looked legit. The price was cheap, but not so cheap that it would make me wonder if it was too good to be true. The pictures of the TV appeared to be in somebody's home. I responded to the advertisement and said that I would like to buy the TV if it was still available. Within an hour, I got a text back from the seller saying that it was available. It was a woman who said her name was Joy. She gave me an address and told me to come over the following night to buy the TV. I looked up the address, and it appeared to be a house in a neighborhood that was maybe 10 minutes away. So the next day, I got the cash and drove to the address. I parked on the side of the street in front of the house in what appeared to be an average neighborhood. I think it was about 7 p.m. When I knocked on the door, it was quickly answered by a woman. She looked to be in her 30s and was about average height with dark hair. She said hi and invited me inside. I stepped into what looked to be the living room of the house. There were boxes around and stuff, as if maybe they were moving. There really wasn't that much furniture, and Joy said sorry that it was a mess, and I said it was fine. She then told me that the TV was in her bedroom. She then led me to the hallway and stopped and opened the door to the bedroom. She said the TV was in there, and I stepped inside. When I did, I noticed that the room appeared to be completely empty, though. And right after I got inside, the door slammed shut behind me. It all happened so fast. I looked around, and there was no TV in there. I turned back and saw that Joy had closed the door on me. She hadn't even entered the room. I walked over and tried opening the door, but it was locked from the outside. It was so weird. I knocked on the door and asked Joy what was going on, but she did not answer me. I kept trying the door for a minute or two, and it just wouldn't open. Then I was yelling for somebody to open the door, but was getting no response. After realizing that wasn't working, I looked around the room. It was a small bedroom and was completely empty. There was literally no furniture at all. I got out my phone and tried calling my friend, but I was getting no signal in there. I thought that was weird. I tried opening the door and calling for help again, but it was apparent that nobody was going to respond to me. I looked around the room, wondering what on earth was going on. Several minutes into this, and I started to hear noises coming from outside the room. It seemed like they were coming from the living room area. It was Joy and the sound of a man's voice. I couldn't tell what they were saying, but I could just hear that they were talking to each other. I yelled again, but got no response. After that, I went over to the window and tried to open it, but for some reason, it wouldn't budge. This angered me, and I went back over to the door and started banging on it as hard as I could. I wanted to break the door down. Then I heard a man's voice yelling at me to stop from down the hallway. I didn't know what these people were capable of. I did stop, but just for a moment. Then I took out my phone and found my alarms. I turned my volume all the way up and started playing the most annoying alarm noise. Then I put my phone at the far side of the room. I then walked over and stood just behind the door on the other side of that. Within probably 30 seconds, I heard somebody walking towards the room. Then they got right outside the door. The door then opened and a man walked in. He turned and first started going towards my phone, making all the noise. I came out from around the corner and ran past him, leaving the room. He tried grabbing me at the last second, but I just barely slipped by him. When I ran out of the room, I went down the hallway. Then when I got to the living room, I saw Joy standing there. She sort of tried to stop me, but I was going too fast and got around her as well. By now, the man had started to run after me. I opened up the door, and when I was doing so, Joy grabbed at my arm. I just got out the door, though. They were both running towards me, and I sprinted for my car, and luckily still had my keys on me. I unlocked my car, got inside, and sped away from there. Now, sadly, I left my phone, so I couldn't immediately call the police. I stopped at the first gas station that I saw, went inside, and asked an employee to call the police. They got to the gas station, and after talking with police, we went back to the house. They recovered my phone on the side of the street a block up. When they went to the house, nobody was there. I found out that those people did not actually live in the home, and somebody else had been renting it. So I don't know if those two were ever caught. When I looked, the Craigslist post was gone. I just know that I'm never using Craigslist again after that.